Welcome to the Irish Photography Podcast. Take control of your camera and develop the skills necessary to improve and master your photography. Join me, Dermot O'Donovan, John Myler and Darren J. Spoonley as they cut through the sometimes confusing jargon of photography to help you find your own style and decide what's best for you. A mix of educational, inspirational, honest and sometimes controversial content delivered in a unique, fun way from three of Ireland's talented photographers. Let's go. And welcome along to the Irish Photography Podcast, guys, where we have a very, very special guest here with us today. Well, it's the whole way from County Loud, like, you know, but it's all the one. So welcome along, Richie Hatch. How are you, buddy?
Not a bother. What's the crack? How are you keeping? All good?
Good stuff. I'm actually keeping quite well. Yeah, the weather isn't the best in Ireland at the moment, but it's okay. So I'm always scuba diving, so it doesn't really matter to me too much. So we're also joined with our usual hosts, Darren J. Spoonley. How are you, buddy?
Wonderful. Tired, but wonderful, yeah. Good to be back.
Why are you tired?
I'm back from my, as John called it, my holliers.
Your holliers, so your expedition.
Yeah, I'm back from the States. I was in the States for 2 weeks and chasing the fall colours. Not the autumn colours, the fall colours.
Very good. Did you enjoy it, Darren?
I did, to be honest with you. It was really good. The kids had a great time and I managed to get up and take some photos. So yeah, it was a good time. First time being there at that time of the year, normally there in the summer, but definitely pretty good, I suppose, in regards to the colour that I got and the scenes that I got. And I'm excited now to kind of get stuck in to do my own stuff after that. So yeah, it was worthwhile. I missed you guys. I missed being on the last two. So good to be back.
Aww. I feel so warm and fuzzy inside right now. Anyway, so John, you there with us as well? I can't see you, but I think I can hear someone from Shannon. Are you there, man?
Yeah, how's it going, boys? How are you? How are you, Richie? How are you?
What's the crack? How are you? Not a bother.
Looking forward to chatting to you over this episode.
Ecstatic.
Going to learn an awful lot, I think. Yeah.
Can't I hope wait. So.
Even the dogs are excited beside me here as well. We're raring to go.
Good stuff.
Right, yeah. So we won't waste any more time. So we have the beautiful Richie Hatch, and his face is so well sculpted with his beard. He's a lovely model as well as a competent photographer, and we'll even be so bold to call him a professional photographer, professional architect photographer. Architect, I nearly got it right. Is that it? Is the architect?
I don't take pictures of the architects. It's architectural.
All right. Oh my God, I've been schooled by a man from now. Jesus. Anyway, so not only is he an architectural photographer, but he works heavily inside the photographic industry in the retail sector of Maher's Photographic. And Maher's Photographic is quite a very nice shop, which Richie has been working there for how long now?
5.5 years. Roughly 5.5 years, that's good.
And have you enjoyed your time there?
Love it. Yeah, look, I was previously in an architect's office for 18 years. And I guess I just wanted a change. So the opportunity to come up to work in Drogheda in Maher's Photographic, and I just took the bait and had a go at it, and I love it. It's very, very different from being stuck in an office. You know, 5 maybe 6 days a week sitting at a desk, sitting at a computer, to working with the public, which is an eye opener.
Okay, yeah.
I have to say it is an eye opener big time. But it's very enjoyable. There's a real sense of achievement at the end of every day. You go home, you've done a lot of things for one day. Whereas if you're working in an architect's office, you could be working on a single project for months feel like you've finished anything at the end of the day. So yeah, it's good. I like it. I enjoy it.
That's brilliant. And it's nice to kind of like, because you were saying there to me off air that you still work in the architectural industry as well, do you
yes.
know?
Yes,
one
do,
day
yeah.
a week or something like that. So yes. You have a kind of a good balance between both jobs, I'm sure of it. And obviously you get to spend time with your family. So that's great.
Absolutely, yeah. Look, about 5 or 6 months ago, probably around February, March of this year, I had been photographing an awful lot of buildings for this one particular office in Drogheda, McKevitt Architects, as it happens. And they didn't have any kind of social media person or stuff to handle that kind of their digital marketing. So
yeah,
I suggested that, you know, a lot of the stuff I could do, and I was going to do it in my own time, and then just they suggested that maybe I go, you know, a day a week and actually work with them. So yeah, it's great and really enjoy it. So essentially, it's essentially social media and marketing that I'm handling in there at the minute. Not so much drawing, but that's not saying I won't be drawing in the future.
Okay. Tell me this, the architectural kind of stuff, is it hard to draw? Like, do you have to go to college to become a drawer? Am I saying this right? I don't know.
Where I came into it was, I did a course in computer-aided design way back 22, 23 years ago. And I went on work experience as part of that to an architect's office. And they happened to use the same package that I was using in the CAD course that I was doing. So I went on work experience, and the running joke in the architectural practice after 18 years is that I was still on work experience. I actually just never left. I guess out of all computer applications, CAD applications are probably one of the most difficult applications to use. So you would need some level of training, but a lot of it would just be from using the applications that you get to know them. Similar to Photoshop.
Than experience.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's no different to Photoshop or InDesign or whatever else you're using, you know?
They're
enjoyable to use. Very, very enjoyable.
Very good, very good. And I touched base about your kids and family as well. And that's one thing that I've loved looking at your photography over the last couple of, since I've first met you. And I will touch base about that in a while. We'll leave that for another. Your son in particular, your daughter, very beautiful also, but your son, he is very striking face, and he's fantastic to pose for photographs.
Yeah.
And every few weeks you'll post something that is just, it's really special.
Yeah.
You know, and has child portraiture been a good passion of yours? When did you get into it, and how did you get into it?
I guess I'll go back even further. My father was a photographer going way back. An amateur photographer. He was a camera club member in Drogheda Camera Club. And I used to follow my father when he would go out taking pictures. So when my kids came around, when my first child was born, Niamh, I bought a good camera and I got into photography. Now it was a film camera, a Canon EOS 55 or something like that, film camera. And I had that for about a year, moved into digital after that, and progressed from there. But yeah, probably children, taking pictures of my own kids is an absolute passion of mine. I think Lucas, my son, he's been a little bit easier for me to take pictures of. Nothing against Niamh. I think she grew out of it quicker than he did. And he quite enjoys getting his picture taken, and I absolutely love it. I do some first communions and stuff, but mostly the pictures of the kids I take are pictures of my own kids. And they go into competitions, camera club competitions and stuff like that. Which I really love it.
Brilliant, brilliant. I think John wanted to ask you something there, Richie.
Yeah.
Yeah, Richie, I just had a quick question with regards your architectural photography. When you're going out to take a shot, is there any particular lens you would use or recommend to somebody for taking that particular type of photo? I know I've tried it myself before, and I find the higher I get up, the easier it is to keep the straight lines, or I have to work it after and post. But
absolutely. I mean, there absolutely is lenses that work better than other lenses. You can, of course, go out and take architectural photographs with any lens, but I have two lenses that I use more than anything else. They're both tilt shift lenses, so they both have movements in them. Now, I don't use the tilt function that often, but I would use the shift function. So
that makes sense.
They allow me to keep my vertical straight by leveling off the camera and then shifting the front element of the lens up or down, or maybe left or right. So I use a Canon 24mm tilt shift and a Canon 17mm tilt and shift as well.
What's the difference between the two of them?
One is 24mm and the other is 17mm. So,
but like, What's the point? If you have a 24 mil already, what would be the point of 17 mil? Is what I'm getting at. Maybe I didn't question it right.
Yeah, no, you're right. I guess 24 mil for some spaces is just not wide enough, basically. So if I move into, especially some of the domestic interiors that I might shoot, the architect might ask you, can you photograph a little small toilet or a cubicle or some crap like that.
Okay.
Like. And they might want a picture for their own records, but not want a picture that might be on a website or something. So you have to get that picture. So in that case, you might use the 17 mil instead of 24 mil. Most domestic interiors, I'd shoot them almost exclusively on the 17 mil, but not always. It depends on the space. Externally, almost always the 24 mil. Just the 17 is too wide, way too wide.
Very good. And I just have a quick question there as well. One of our podcasts there, one of our earlier podcasts, we spoke about having different elements in an architectural shot to give it more feature or character, as in movement of the streets, the cars, the people or whatever. Would you ever shoot like that or use the clouds to give it some sort of perspective or motion in an image?
Yeah, absolutely. From time to time, I always shoot with filters. I know you guys all use grad filters or neutral density filters. I would use filters all the time, mostly graduated filters just to darken down my skies, but I'd also use just general neutral density filters to slow down my shutter speeds. I actually did a shoot in Limerick a long, long time ago of a jeweler's.
Oh, yeah.
On the main street in Limerick, I'm not sure.
O'Connell Street.
And the only time I could shoot it when it was open, which meant it was middle of the day and it was on a Saturday. So it was mental busy. So I used probably a big stopper, say a 10 stop filter in the middle of the day to just slow down my shutter speed. So it meant the people on the street disappeared when I took the photograph. So I might have a shutter speed of 10 or 15 seconds or maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
Just to slow down the shutter speed. But I would have combined that maybe with a grad filter as well, just to keep the exposure balanced. The sky's not so bright, I guess.
Yeah, that's great, because we actually only spoke with that in our last podcast. I was up the north and I was shooting the dark hedges, and I was trying to blur the people out there to limit the amount of people in the shot, and it worked quite well. Last question I have for you, Richie, regards the topic we're on, is internal. So I know a couple of people love to shoot inside cathedrals, for example. Now, I've done a few and I really loved it, but I've done it as a HDR. Is that what you would do? A very subtle HDR image, or would you just do a single shot?
Yeah, it's a funny one. I don't like HDR images.
Yeah.
In general, I don't like the look of a HDR image, but I guess our cameras don't have a dynamic range that our eye have. You know, like they do not have a dynamic range like our eyes have. So I will take multiple exposures. I always take multiple exposures. I bracket. So for a single internal shot, I might bracket 3 or 5, plus or minus 2 stops up and down. And at times, if I want to see a view out a window, if there is a nice view out a window, if I've exposed for the inside, the outside's too bright. So I might just add it in. Once I add it in, I generally tone it back by 40 or 50% so that it doesn't look fake. Because if you just, they call it a window pop. So if I do a window pop, sometimes it just looks ridiculous. It doesn't look real. So I'll tone that back a little bit. I'll tone it back with an opacity of maybe, it could be 20, 30, 40, 50%, just to whatever looks real to my eye.
Yeah.
Depending on whatever scene it was,
exactly.
No, I totally get that. There's a cathedral in, help me out here, Dodd, it's just gone out of my head, top of O'Connell Street, the Redemptorist Church in Limerick.
Okay,
and
yeah.
It's beautiful inside. And I've shot that now. I did do more, I think of the 5 exposures, and I blended them together, and it was a cracking image. But as you said, I toned it right back. So it is a HDR image, but it hasn't got that surreal effect or artistic-y kind of effect.
Exactly.
It looks natural. Exactly. That was my couple of questions I had regarding that. And I'm sure Darren has a couple of questions for you too. What about it, Darren?
Yeah, I do actually. And I do, and it's quite interesting listening, I suppose, to the different equipment that you'd use, Richie, because, you know, you said about filters. We all use filters. I use them, as you know, probably I'm just a one-trick pony. I do landscape photography. Yeah. And I use my filters pretty much every day, but it's interesting to see you using the filters from that point of view. And I suppose it got me thinking, as you were talking there in regards to the filters, but also the tilt shift.
Yeah.
Have you ever used a tilt shift lens other than from a from an architectural point of view? Have you used it in the landscape or yes. anything like that to kind of use the small towns or the small city kind of effect?
Yeah, the miniaturization effect. I have done. In Mahers, where I work, we have a secondhand 90mm tilt shift. And the 90mm makes that effect a lot stronger. On the 24 and the 17mm, you don't see a lot of that effect because your depth of field is too big. So with the 90mm, you can shoot it at 2.8 from a height looking down, and it does that miniaturization effect. It is brilliant. I have used it with the 17mm when we were over in the Isle of Skye a couple of years ago. Myself and a couple of friends were over, and I used it to expand my depth of field because it means you can shoot at f4 or maybe if you want to keep your shutter speeds a little bit fast, you can shoot at f4, f5.6, have a wide depth of field by tilting your plane of focus. It's very, very interesting the way it works. You only have to tilt it a slight amount and all of a sudden your depth of field is no longer parallel to your sensor. If this is quite complicated without being able to actually show you.
I'm kind of following, yeah. I'd like to actually, I think it's kind of something that most people would love to find out more, so I think people would be interested in learning the how it works thing. Yeah, that's interesting. Go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, I guess the easiest way to kind of visualize it is if you say you had five bottles lined up in a row, like perpendicular to yourself. Okay, if traditionally your depth of field is parallel to your sensor, so if you set an aperture of f4 or f2.8 or something like that, you might only have the first or the second one in focus, but you could leave your aperture at exactly the same position, so you leave it at f2.8 or f4. And you can tilt your plane of focus. And all of a sudden, as you tilt it, you'd see more of those bottles coming into focus. But what's left or right of those bottles might be out of focus. Do you get me? So now your plane of focus is not parallel to your sensor. So it they're very interesting lenses to use. But as I said, I mostly use it for the shift function, not so much for the tilt function.
No, that's actually brilliant because it's something I've thought about using and I haven't got a clue how to use them. So I've just learned a lot there now in that short period of time.
Canon recently released an awful lot of three or four new lenses, and they really pushed at product photography more than architectural photography. The wider ones would be pushed towards architecture and landscape, whereas the longer focal lengths would be pushed towards product photography.
Okay. Good, and I suppose just you mentioned then as well that you were in the Isle of Skye shooting from a landscape point of view. Do you is landscape photography your release from the grind?
Yeah, it would have been more so a couple of years ago. I find getting the time to get out and do landscape photography, it's very time consuming. As I said, I've currently got two jobs. I'm also a photographer, so really three jobs. And just physically getting the time to do that stuff, I find more and more difficult as my kids get a little bit older. So I'm juggling jobs, family, kids, dogs. I have three dogs. So it's.
I thought it was just a one boxer the whole time. You have three of them.
Yeah. The boxer's the famous guy. He's very good on Instagram. He's really, really good, you know. So that's the guy who's big into social media. But I have a pug and a beagle as well, so.
All right, so guys, what we're going to do, we're going to take a quick break and just have a word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Today's episode is brought to you by Hainel Industries. Hainel Industries is one of the leading manufacturers of power products for camcorders and digital cameras. Having celebrated over 50 years in business, Hainel have an excellent reputation in research and development and a well-known history of quality products and excellent design.
And welcome back, guys, to the Irish Photography Podcast. We still have our lovely special guest, Richie Hatch, with us. So we're jumping straight into the deep end again, guys. Richie, What I want to know is, you talked about your tilt shift lenses and all that, and I know for a fact that mostly I think you shoot in Canon. So I'm guessing, what Canon camera do you have? And if you do have a Canon camera, what it is and why did you choose that camera?
I went full frame cameras with the 5D originally, which was only 12 megapixels. And then I went to the 5D 2, the 5D 3. And then when the 5D SR was announced, it kind of interested me because of the megapixels. And the more I looked at it, the more I said, yeah, you know what? If I could afford this now, I'd definitely give it a go. In the past, when I shot for architects, especially the place I used to work for, a lot of their work was published. And with the previous cameras having like 20 megapixels, 12 megapixels, whatever it was, I've had some magazines come back to me and ask me for higher resolution images. So with the 5DSR having 50 megapixels, it was kind of a no-brainer in the end when I thought about it. And to be honest with you, when I work on images now, every time I work with it, I have it 2 years now, every time I take pictures with it, it blows me away how much detail it has, especially when you use good lenses. It needs really, really good lenses. You can't put really cheap lenses or old lenses onto it. They're not just not sharp enough. But so it's a fantastic camera. Yes, I'd like a little bit more dynamic range. Hopefully the next generation will have more dynamic range. But at the end of the day, you hear so much about dynamic range, and it's kind of a little bit of bull, I think. If you can bracket your shots, you can create the same amount of dynamic range. Yes, it would be easier not to have to do it. But I think we read too much about pulling shadow detail and all that stuff. Just feckin' expose your camera, your images right in the first place, and you know, happy days. So I love the camera. It's a great camera, and I've been with Canon for years. And in terms of backup and everything like that, and you probably heard that before, Canon in Ireland have an amazing team, and I can't fault them. They're excellent.
To be fair, Canon are fantastic. I've shot on a Canon camera since I've been into photography, and so are the two lads. So that's, we're all kind of interconnected in a weird way. Like, I swear by Canon, I love it. Now, I do have my foot in the other pool also. I do have a Sony A7R Mark II, and I use that for landscape purposes. But if I'm shooting a wedding, I'm bringing my Canon 5D Mark III and my Canon 60. I leave the Sony at home, because I like the versatility of the Canon. I know the Canon inside out, whereas with Sony, I don't know it inside out. It's very complicated menu system.
That's exactly one of the reasons I have stuck with Canon. You're right. It does muscle memory built in. Like, from the 5D Mark I right up to the 5D SR and the 5D Mark IV, which I've tried, I can pick up the camera and immediately know how to use it. And now that's partially because it's brand memory as well as just muscle memory. But when I pick up, I've played with the Sony, I've played with the Nikons, I actually just don't like their menu structure. And I think that's a general consensus out there, that Canon's menu structure is actually probably the best. It's easy to understand. And that's it. The whole muscle memory thing of, I've had a Fuji as well. I bought a Fuji and I had it for a little while as a second camera, and it was in my bag. It never came out. So I'm sticking with the Canon for now, definitely.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Well, actually, we noticed that when we were at the event, Dad. When we were up at the EOSR event, we picked up the cameras. We both knew exactly what we were doing straight away, because everything, even though the menu structure was updated and changed, it was still
much
intuitive. And it was great, you know.
Yeah.
And I think from that point of view, you know, that's why I love Canon. I mean, I'm similar. I've said it before. I wanted to move over to Sony, but I stick with Canon because I know it. I use it. And Dad, I think you're the same.
Richie, I have a question for you. Over your years of being a photographer and in the industry, have you any funny story you can share with us? Something humorous that may have happened out in the field or with a customer or anything like that?
Well, I have loads about customers, but I wouldn't like to...
Go on, tell us.
No, I won't go there. I'm involved with camera clubs. I'm a member of Mid-Loud Camera Club. I have been for maybe 15 years. And I've been chairman for a few years. I'm not chairman now, but I have been for a few years. But One of the things we do is a fun competition, and we run it twice a year. And it's normally the last competition before we break for Christmas or we break for the summer. I actually judge the competition, and I go out of my way to spend €20 on about 20 prizes. So you can imagine the quality of these yeah, prizes. Yeah. They are something else. So I head into one of the local pound shops, and I buy a load of crap, basically. And everybody that enters gets a prize. And that could be a packet of sweets to a packet of staples to anything. It can just be anything. But
I like the sound of this.
My star prize for, I think, might have been the first competition was a nice lady calendar. Let's put it like that. Now, our camera club is predominantly male, and I thought, right, well, maybe that's just me being an idiot, but I thought, well, more than likely it's going to be a man that wins it, and they're going to be delighted. Of course, I judged these images anonymously, so I didn't know whose was
excellent
whose. And the one that won was not a man. So it was a woman. That's fine, and she knows who she is, and she'll probably listen to this, and I'll be giving out to her. But that was embarrassing enough as it was. Then about 3 or 4 days later, I was in the shop, and our husband came into the shop, and our husband, a very, very nice man, I know him quite well, and always having a crack with him, great fun, comes into the shop looking particularly stern, and asks to talk to me in private.
Lovely.
No way.
And continues to go through me for a shortcut. How dare I give his wife this dirty calendar? The thing is, the lads in the shop had him wound up to do this. It wasn't for real.
Very good.
I never.
Oh, that is brilliant.
I never felt so embarrassed in all my life. Because
I do not, Richie. I bet your heart dropped when he came into the shop.
I know the man quite well, so when I seen him coming in, I'm going, ah, no, like, he's only taking the piss. But he wasn't. Like, in my head, he wasn't taking the piss. And I went completely white. I nearly collapsed. Oh, being honest with you.
You wanted the ground to open up.
I would have paid to have been there.
It's a simple story, but I'll tell you, you had to be there.
Very good. Very good.
Well, Richie, I have to say you described it very, very well, and I can actually picture it in my head. That's very good. Well done. That's a great story.
I was sweating listening to him there. I was thinking, what's going to happen? I can imagine how he was feeling in the shop.
Oh, it was in bits. And there was other customers around too, which didn't help, you know.
tell me, Richie, before we go off the subject there, does she still have the calendar or does the husband still have the calendar?
I think it's hanging in his garage.
Yeah, very good.
Brilliant. And I think, you know, Richie, I think you've listened to a couple of episodes here, and you know, you're working in the photography industry in a number of different facets. And one thing that we have come up in each week is our thing called a VSP, which is our very solid product.
Okay.
And I think this week we'd like you to kind of come up with what you think would be, what's your choice for a VSP?
I have one main one, and I might just mention another one as well. Okay. Again, it's partly to do with what I shoot. So I shoot architecture, I shoot landscape, and then, of course, the pictures of my kids, but that doesn't matter. But, well, they do matter. But but for this situation, they don't matter. I use a Manfrotto four-piece carbon fiber tripod, and I have a bad back, okay? So I bought the carbon fiber to keep the weight down. And then I bought a junior, a 410 junior geared head. And I have to say, since I used it, I will not use any other head. It's so precise because as you twist the knobs on it, the head rotates left or right or forward and back or side to side. So it's extremely precise for the whole architecture of photography.
Yes.
When you have to be precise with your framing, you cannot get, for me, I couldn't use a ball head. I tried them. You think you have it in position, you tighten it, and then it moves a little bit. Same with an ordinary three-way head, the same thing. So the Manfrotto 410 junior geared head, that's definitely my VSP. And again, it'll last for years. I have it now, probably 7 or 8 years, and it's working like it did when I bought it. Not cheap. They're probably about between 230 to 240 euro, so they're not that cheap, but you get what you pay for.
Very good.
You really do. And if any of you haven't used one, try one out, because it's like when you look through a full frame camera after using a crop sensor. You don't want to go back. Yeah. Or if you use a Mac after using a PC. You know, it's that type of comparison.
That's interesting.
But yeah, I'd love actually to use one of those. I'd never heard of one before now.
Yeah.
In the way that you described it, it makes perfect sense as well, because I get frustrated, and like, as I said earlier, and all I do is landscape photography, but I get frustrated because I could be off out and I want to compose a shot. And particularly, you know, you mentioned it last week, well, the guys mentioned it. I wasn't here for it, unfortunately. I was AWOL, but they were talking about composition and getting the horizon straight. And it's something that, you know, if you've got that geared head, you dial that in, it's done.
Hold on a second, Darren, there's people out there that'll still mess it up. Come on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
True story. Yeah.
No, it's a super piece of kit, and it just moved back a little bit as well. Before I started in Maher's Photographic, they'd never sold one. They didn't even know what they were. And that's no disrespect to the lads, but it wasn't the type of photography that they did. So after I started, we've now sold probably 10 or 15 of them. Like, they're a fantastic piece of kit.
Yeah, it always helps when you use the product yourself as well, because absolutely. You can believe in it, you know? I mean, just a slight deviant off it, but a deviate off it. I had something similar before, another thing I did, and I worked in mobile phones, and I used one particular phone which was never sold, and we ended up selling the most in the company in any period
absolutely.
Of time.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because you use it, you're passionate about it, you talk about it, the people listen to that, and then they see the benefit. And as you say, I imagine, you probably have something in the store that they can see how it's going to use
absolutely.
It, and that's exactly
absolutely.
It, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's brilliant,
it's spot on. Yeah.
What was the other thing you had, Richie?
It's just a little thing I use. It's a MIDI controller for Lightroom. So it's an X-Touch Mini by the company called Behringer. So it's actually more probably used for music, but it's really good for using with Lightroom as well. I'm not going to get into it because it'll take up a lot of time, but
okay.
A friend of mine, a very good wedding photographer, told me about it.
Me?
Me? And in terms of absolutely. If you actually really were checking this guy out, maybe will I name drop?
Dermot O'Donovan.
That's the man. No, there's a local guy up here, Gareth McGaughey, and you should check out his stuff. Gaz McGaughey, he's fantastic. But if you've got a large workflow, the X-Touch Mini allows you to get through images much, much faster. So it's a good workflow tool. Really is a good workflow tool.
So, brilliant. How much are they, Richie?
I think I paid about 100 euro, maybe 110 or something like that. It's not that expensive.
Okay.
You have to download a piece of software then for your Mac as well, or your PC, to work with it.
That's cool. Because I do know the Loop Deck is on the market now, and there is a Mark II Loop Deck coming out soon enough as well. So that's very, very interesting. And the Loop Deck was always something that I would have liked to got.
Gas.
Just the price, feck off.
Gas.
The price of it is too much for me. So I'm holding off. And once the Mark II comes out, obviously
shiny.
The Mark I will go down. So then I look forward to maybe purchasing the one when the price goes down. So
Darren, there you go. Justified already.
Darren, go away. So we enjoyed your VSPs. They're very entertaining. And it's something the junior head, I'd say Darren would actually love the junior
give it a go.
More than any of us, to be honest with you.
Excellent.
So moving on to our next topic, Richie. This is a special topic. We put out to the listeners on the Facebook page. Well, first of all, I put up a picture of myself, a selfie, underwater.
Right.
And what I did then was I said that, so I want to challenge all our listeners this weekend to go get a new selfie, new favorite selfie, and post below when you get it. The winner will get 5 boxes of lens clean wipes. And I said the winner would be the three of us, whatever. But I'm actually forwarding the responsibility to you. So what I want you to do is I'm going to send you 5 pictures on the Messenger app on Facebook right now.
Okay.
To you. And I want you to judge the winner of the competition. And you can say a piece or two from each photograph if you wish. I'm sure there's some very interesting ones in there. Bear with me now.
Okay.
I'm going to get them over.
While you're doing that there, I have to say those wipes are really, really good too. I've used a couple of boxes down there. Quite good.
Come from me.
You use a couple of boxes down there. What do you mean down there?
Keep it nice and shiny.
Okay, here's option number one.
Okay, yeah. Right.
Look at the head in that.
So describe to us what you see, Richie.
It looks like a Scouse lad, just with a nice afro on him. Yeah. I like that one, but yeah, come on, move on. Let's see the rest.
Okay. Does he remind you of anyone?
Yeah, one of you guys, I reckon.
Okay. Option number two. Here we go.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's like me last Saturday night when I was coming home from the pub. That's kind of what I felt like, I think.
Darren, would you like to tell the people who the second person is?
That's Terry McSweeney.
Okay.
Very good. All right. So option number three. Now, this is a girl, Doreen Stridham, and she's that's a picture of her in South Africa last month.
Cool. Yeah, it's got the whole colour of the glasses and T-shirt, very coordinated there. Nice one.
And do you know, when I saw that image for the first time, I actually thought that was taken in a place out near Corcoran Row Abbey in the Burren. It's very, very like it. There's cottages there. People who are listening will know what I'm talking about. I was surprised.
I thought it was the Aran Islands.
Yeah. It looks a bit like that place we went to, Dad, up in Ballyliffin.
Yeah. Ballyliffin, that's right. Yeah. That was a good crack, actually.
It was brilliant, yeah.
So, option number four.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Sorry, I'm looking at a 30-inch screen and I just maximized that.
So, for our listeners, this is Joe Fitzgibbon. Yeah. He's a scuba diver from Galway. Lovely lad. It's very interesting photograph. Very good selfie. I love it. It's probably one of my favorite ones.
Absolutely super. I love that one. Really, this is
our last option, and I'm just sending it now. So this picture is from Adam Russell. He's a listener from the UK. Very, very good photographer, and he's just on tour here in Ireland at the moment. So this is a picture he took the other day up in the Giant's Causeway.
Okay. Yeah, good. It's more of a landscape, I guess, than a selfie. But I get, it's a selfie. It is a selfie. Up in the Giant's Causeway. Yeah, nice. Yeah, compositionally very good. You've got your rule of thirds going on there. He's sitting bang on.
Dermot.
Come here. Is this horizon line straight there?
It isn't. Oh, that's 5 points down. Sorry.
Dermot.
Sorry, Adam.
As we're talking, we actually got another entry just popped in. Imagine that. As we're recording this, another entry just popped in by Mike Ort. He says, my favorite selfie fail. I tried four times to get this three-person selfie right, but Jared turned his rig upwards every single time. That means more to you than it was to me. I don't know. Can you get that there to show Richie really quick?
You can, yeah. Oh, yeah. I see it. Jesus, that's mad now. He
just came in one minute ago.
Just in the nick of the time.
He's very telepathic.
I know him. I know Mike Ort. Sound lad. He's my DO in Limerick Sub Aqua Club. Very, very good diver. There's a picture posted on the Facebook page.
So, Richie, you'll have a few to pick from there, Richie.
And this is our last submission. Mike Ort,
number six.
Seven.
Six,
six, number six, six, six,
seven,
six,
seven,
six.
Six. Six. It's six. It's six.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. Six. Okay, Richie, you have all the entries
six.
There.
Six.
I want to count
all the entries.
Yeah, I like it. Would I pick my winner then?
Pick so your pick favorite.
The previous one of the scuba diving, the one that's.
Brilliant.
It's definitely Joe the other one of the scuba diver. Definitely. Joe Fitzgibbon, definitely. That's a great image. Really good choice. Really, really good.
Well done, Joe Fitzgibbon. You are now famous.
Super stuff.
That's fantastic. That's it, guys. Thank you very much for coming on, Richie. It was an actual pleasure to have you on and play our little game, selfie game. And Darren, thanks very much for coming
on. Thank you.
John, thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks, Dermot.
Super. Thanks a million.
Yeah, really nice to talk to you, Richie, boy. Good stuff.
If you've enjoyed the Irish Photography Podcast, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. Until next time, guys, keep shooting.